talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar.
Lines are open, 844-967-2789, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And unfortunately, there's a lot of it made every day with a new Republican majority in the House. Start with Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy is the emasculated Speaker of the House. Took, what, 15, 16 ballots? The guy caved in. In fact, let me tell you something. Matt Gaetz, who is lucky he has not been charged. He was under investigation for trafficking in Florida for a long period of time, and his wingman pled guilty and is going to prison. But Matt Gaetz, somebody said to him, why'd you finally vote present? Because you said McCarthy, for instance, was squatting in the Speaker's office and said he should be evicted. And you said, quote, you don't pick the biggest alligator to drain the swamp. You insulted him, and yet you voted present, which gave him the opportunity to be elected Speaker. Why'd you do that? And you know what he said? He said, I ran out of things to ask him, to demand from him. Everything I demanded, he said, yes, I couldn't think of anything else to demand from him. That is pathetic. I mean, that is pathetic. Well, here's what McCarthy is doing now, still trying to suck up to his base. He has now announced that he's going to throw three Democrats off of very influential committees in retaliation for the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi throwing Paul Gosar and Marjorie Taylor Greene off their committees. All right, let's talk about that. Paul Gosar put out a video in which he killed Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in the video and severely injured Joe Biden. Now, to be honest with you, I don't know why he wasn't prosecuted. You can't advocate violence against the president, much less, or a member of the House of Representatives, but how about the president? Can't do it. But because he is a congressman, they let him slide. Marjorie Taylor Greene, at various times before she went into Congress, advocated the assassination of Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama. Now, I don't know why she wasn't prosecuted. I don't care if she's in Congress or not. You flat out can't say things like that. Somehow she snuck through. She snuck through. So Nancy Pelosi looked at that and said enough's enough and threw them off of their committees. The Republicans at the time mouthed off and they said, well, you know, we may retaliate, blah, 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 blah. They're supposed to win a 40 to 60 seat majority. They got by with a whisker. They have about a 4-seat majority right now. But Kevin McCarthy, trying to suck up to his base some more, says throwing three people off. Now, is he throwing off people who threaten violence against the Republicans? No. One of them is Adam Schiff. He's throwing Adam Schiff off because simply Adam Schiff is one of the most astute congressmen, and he was an impeachment manager. He argued the impeachment, Donald Trump, on the Ukraine issue. Eric Swalwell is the other one that he's going to throw off. These people are on the intelligence committees. Throwing him off because Eric Swalwell is one of the most outspoken advocates for the Democratic cause against the Republicans. They're both on the Intelligence Committee, and he's throwing off Ilhan Omar, who's on the Foreign Affairs Committee. Now, I want to give you some detail. You may be aware of it, you may not. There's some committees the Speaker can just throw someone off without any other process, and there's some where he needs a vote from the House. The Intelligence Committee is a special committee, so the Speaker can throw them off without getting approval of the rest of the House, including the Democrats. One of the things about the Intelligence Committee is that of all the committees in the Congress, they are the committee that is given the highest level of confidential, secret, foreign policy and military information, intelligence information. So they pick people who are discreet, whom they can trust of both parties, and it's worked out very well. One of the things Joe Biden can do, when you think that this is a retaliation for throwing off two people who advocated the assassination of public figures, the Republicans, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Paul Gosar. If I were Joe Biden, you know what I'd do? I would bring Eric Swalwell and Eric Schiff into the White House. Adam Schiff, Eric Swalwell into the White House, and give them the briefing by executive order. Have the CIA come in and the FBI. Give them the same briefings that the Intelligence Committee is getting, because he can do that as an executive order. And then if I were Hakeem Jeffries, I'd say, all right, the clown McCarthy's thrown them off, but Eric Swalwell and Adam Schiff will communicate with the rest of the Democrats on the committee and give their point of view, and they'll effectively serve on the committee anyway with full information. He can do that. I hope he does do it. Ilhan Omar, let me tell you my thought there. Ilhan Omar, it's not a special committee. It's a standing committee, so you can only throw someone off by vote of the House. Now, 213, if there's a special election for the fellow who died who's the Democrat, we'd have 213 votes. Otherwise, we'll have 212. Votes are going to be don't throw her off. They have 222. They can't lose five votes. If they lose five votes, if five votes say no, she doesn't get thrown off. So the question is, will there be five Republicans who say no? A number of Republicans said, come on to him, you can't do it. They would probably stick up for Swalwell and Schiff. They may not stick up for her. I have a larger problem here and with her. If I were in the Congress, as a Democrat, of course, I would vote against Kevin McCarthy and everything. I wouldn't let him throw anybody off. But I've got to say to you that Nancy Pelosi made a big mistake putting Ilhan Omar in the Foreign Affairs Committee. Why do I say that? I don't say that lightly. Ilhan Omar publicly compared our military, the American military, and the Israeli military to the Taliban. She said that the American military is no different from the Taliban, and the Israeli military is no different from the Taliban. That was not only false, but that was treasonous in my view. I was in the American military, in the Navy. I was not in Afghanistan, not in Iraq, didn't serve in combat. But I know guys who did, and I'll tell you something. The Taliban are sadistic. They butcher their women, treat them like animals. They're sadists. No member of Congress who says something like that, in my view, should be on any influential committee. She also, you may remember this, Donald Trump was golfing and he gets a call in the golf cart from Erdogan of Turkey. Erdogan says, listen, just a favor, would you pull American troops out of Syria and let me genocide the Kurds? And Trump goes, yeah, okay, I got a seven iron here. I want to get back to my game. So he pulled out our troops and they went about Erdogan and his paramilitaries to genocide the Kurds. They have a long history of genocide. The Armenians back 100 years ago killed 2 million of them, 2 million Armenian Christians. In any event, there was a resolution in the House to condemn Erdogan's genociding of the Kurds and attacking Trump, quite frankly, for what he did. This was bipartisan, by the way. There's 300, it was something like 360 to 60 something. Most Republicans voted for it. Of the people who didn't, 60 something, all but one of them were Republicans. and the worst Republicans, the Gateses, Marjorie Taylor Greens, the Gosars, the Boberts, every clown, and some of them criminals. I mean, somebody like Gymnasium Jim J.Y.M. Jordan was in on the hatching of the insurrection, all that. One Democrat voted with Erdogan against Biden. One Democrat, that was Ilhan Omar. And the reason for that is because Ilhan Omar's culture is a Sunni Islamic culture from Somalia. And Turkey, Erdogan of Turkey, the Ottoman Empire, they're the successors to the Ottoman Empire, were the Sunni force that went into Europe. And it and its predecessors for 1,300 years occupied big chunks of Europe and murdered a lot of people. So she's right now, under Pelosi, she is also the chair of the subcommittee of the Foreign Affairs Committee on Africa. I do not want, first of all, I don't want Kevin McCarthy throwing anybody off. That should be done internally by us. But secondly, Hakeem Jeffries, if he wants some advice, which he doesn't want, I'm going to tell him. Whoever's the sub-chair, Foreign Relations Committee for Africa, is going to get confidential information, intelligence information, about where our special forces are posted and located. They're constantly in danger from jihadist attacks. It is a travesty to put Ilhan Omar in that position when she compared them to the Taliban. That's not subject to dispute. I don't care if you're conservative, liberal, democratic, republican, progressive, squad, or Freedom Caucus, or whatever you are. That is not debatable. You do not want somebody who compared our troops to the Taliban to be given confidential information about where they're being stationed in Africa. So, I think what McCarthy's doing is disgusting. I would vote against it up and down the line. But Swalwell and Schiff, that can be taken care of by Biden in executive order. But the other one, that should have been taken care of by Hakeem Jeffries. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, here's another thing McCarthy's done. Kevin McCarthy, the emasculated speaker, caved in to the Freedom Caucus. They just approved, these are the Republicans now, they have 222 votes. When we're at full strength, we'll have 213, 212 right now, so they get a successor in the seat of the fellow who passed away. Then 213, because there are 435 members of the House of Representatives. So here's another thing they passed. There was a procedure, most people aren't aware of it, and not too long ago, where the House could pass, or the Congress, I should say. Remember, the Congress is the House and the Senate. The House has 435 members. The Senate has 100, 535 legislators. They collectively, the Congress. However, if somebody runs for the House, like in Wisconsin, you have Pocan, you know, Moore, you have Gallagher and all this. You say he's running for Congress. What you mean by that is running for the House of Representatives. So, but the Congress, under this form of procedure, could target a single individual who worked for the government and cut his pay. They didn't like him. They thought he was doing something bad. Maybe cut it in half, cut it by three quarters. It's obviously not fair. I don't think it's fair. Somebody does something wrong, then they should be terminated. But, you know, cutting their pay just because you don't like a guy should not be done. Democrats put an end to that procedure. Well, it just got revived. Just got revived yesterday by the Republicans, pressure from the Freedom Caucus. And here's what it what they passed, and then I'm going to explain what's going to happen, that they can reduce or eliminate federal agencies and slash salaries for individuals who are federal employees. So if they don't like the Department of Education, eliminate it. They don't like the EPA, eliminate it. I mean, some, they'd have to be crazy to eliminate, even from right-wing ideology, the SEC, the IRS, and that kind of thing, but they could. Then the second thing, though, it says we can slash salaries of folks we don't like. Well, they're really not going to like Jack Smith, who's the new special counsel investigating whether Trump should be criminally prosecuted. They could cut his pay, cut it in half, cut him down to 10 grand a year or something. He's supposed to what? Live in Washington, D.C.? You know, this is wrong. One of the things that will save us is they can't do it on their own. Requires the Senate to go along. Schumer is not going to even give that a public hearing. They're doing it to pose posture. But, and remember something, 212 or 13 Democrats will vote against it. Is it really the case that four or five Republicans won't also vote against it? The answer is no, they won't. They're terrified. Terrified of Trump. Terrified of Tucker Carlson, Hannity. They're terrified of a whisper campaign in the Republican Party that they're wobbly on some things. You know, unless voters are really naive and stupid, you'd think that they would tumble to what's going on. But that's what they're going to do. What they could also do, because they also passed legislation to rescind the new IRS agents that the Democrats, well, actually, it was bipartisan bill, the Inflation Reduction Act. What it does is there are something like 87,000 IRS personnel had been cut over the last 20 years. George W. Bush did it. Everybody goes, oh, George W. Bush, he's beginning to look good compared to Trump. No, he's not. He's no damn good either. A little smoother than Trump. That's about it. What he ended up doing was a lot of his big donors were saying that we're being audited and we have to pay more taxes and we have all of these clever tax shelters. He simply cut the IRS to the bone. They didn't have enough forensic accountants, forensic lawyers. Biden put it back with bipartisan support. McCarthy just passed a bill to cut it. The net impact on our treasury is we'll lose over $100 billion over the next 10 years. $100 billion. Because it costs something to hire these forensic lawyers and accountants, obviously. But the projections from past history are that they would bring in something like two or three times the cost it takes to hire them. They're only doing it because most of these large donors don't get audited. There just aren't enough people, and the tax shelters are too tricky. You need people who can see through the tricks. But what's really offensive is you're going to go take a look at the Ukraine impeachment. Remember that? Or take a look at the January 6th commission hearings. You had people back then with Colonel Vindman, for instance, and others, just want, really honest people across the board in the Ukraine one. And then on the other, you had Cassidy Hutchinson, people like that. These people still work for the government. What this bill of McCarthy would do is simply permit the Congress to say they can only get $5,000 a year, effectively drive them out of their position. You can't live on $5,000 a year in Washington, D.C., or 10 or 20. You know that. And why should they have their salary reduced? These are patriots. But this is what they are doing. They are immediately cutting, and this is not to save money. This is not being done to somehow benefit the country. This, with the IRS, is done to stop audits of their crooked donors. That's what's being done for. And when it comes to targeting individual members of the federal workforce, it's being done to go and kind of gut the most effective ones. Just gut them. And they've done it on the Congress itself by taking Eric Swalwell and Adam Schiff off the Intelligence Committee. This is a targeted headhunting to decapitate the most effective people we have in our government. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. You know about it. It's $1 million advertising giveaway. $1 million advertising giveaway. Save the date, Thursday, January 26th. You'll be able that day to fill out an application for a piece of our giveaway. Also, the chance for the Civic Media team to put together a top-notch radio advertising campaign that we'd promote all around the state for free. The $1 million advertising giveaway starts at 9 a.m. only on Thursday, January 26th. There's some rules apply because of the law. Full details are on our website, civicmedia.us/millions. So save that date and let everybody know, any small business person, anybody know, that you heard about it on Matt Flynn Direct. And I'll tell you something. I was tempted, but I can't do it. I was tempted. You know, I've written a couple of novels. My latest one is Milwaukee Jihad, J-I-H-A-D. Selling pretty well. You can get it on Amazon. Look up Matthew Flynn, Milwaukee Jihad. You'll get a kick out of it. You see a lot of good history, and you'll see a lot of thriller action. But I was thinking maybe I'd apply to this giveaway and advertise my own book. And then I thought, I can't because I'm an insider, you see. I can't because I'm an insider. And so I can't do it, but you can. And anybody you know in a small business, just tell them. $1 million ain't hay. $1 million in advertising ain't hay. And it would be promoted all around the state. Okay, I want to talk about, and this is amazing. I can't believe these guys. There's a guy named Robert Spindell, okay? And Robert Spindell is on the Wisconsin Election Commission. He's one of six people. There are three Democrats, three Republicans. And he's bad news. He was a fake elector, by the way. Fake elector. And, you know, I'm waiting. I don't know if Josh Call is going to start going after these guys, fake electors. They send into the Senate. They send into the government that they're the electors. They weren't the electors. Trump lost. Biden won, but they said they were. That was wrong. But in any event, this guy is also the chairman of the 4th Congressional District Republican Party, which is right here in Milwaukee County. Gwen Moore is the member of Congress from that district. I live here, so this guy is the Republican chairman for where I live. And listen to this. This isn't this email the guy sends around to the other Republicans in Milwaukee. Quote, I'm not kidding, quote, "We can be especially proud that Milwaukee, which has an 80.2% Democratic vote, cast 37,000 votes less than they did in 2018 in the recent election. And with a major impact on Hispanic and Black votes. This is a great and important decrease due to a well-thought-out, multifaceted plan." This guy's saying this. And then he goes on and he says, number one, we put on biting Black radio network ads attacking the Democrats. But number two, quote, "There was a substantial and very effective Republican coordinated election integrity campaign. Lots of Republican paid election judges, trained observers, and extremely significant court litigation," end quote. Now, who the hell sends an email like that around? exulting over the fact that there are 37,000 fewer votes, largely in the Latino black communities, because of what they did, because of what he calls his integrity campaign, which is attacking voters, harassing them in many cases, trained observers, paid election judges, and extremely significant court litigation. What was that court litigation? One was getting rid of drop boxes. You know, there are drop boxes they use in Utah. Utah is the most Republican state in the country, more than Wyoming and Montana. Utah is 70% Republican. They have drop boxes. There's nothing wrong with drop boxes. But Republican judges, number 4-3, because there's a Republican Supreme Court majority, which if we elect Janet Protasiewicz this spring, it'll be a Democratic majority. You'll have drop boxes again, as well as no gerrymandering. But in any event, no drop boxes, and they also shortened early voting. It had been 6 weeks, shortened to 2 weeks. Their whole objective is to drive down the vote in Milwaukee County and doing it by attacking the vote in Latino and black areas. This is right there in an email. This was printed in Urban Milwaukee by Bruce Murphy. Bruce Murphy is probably the most effective investigative journalist in the state. He's on Urban Milwaukee. He was the guy who broke the story about the pension scandal over here before anybody else did in the mainstream media. And nobody paid attention to him. And he was the guy who broke it. He's a fair guy. And he just does it with very, very good sources and very, very good facts. So here you have an email saying we got to be proud that we got 37,000 fewer votes, largely black and Latino, this last time around. I'm going to give you some data, and you got to chew on this. Chew on it real good. In 2016, remember, they had just put in the voter ID law under Walker, voter ID. There were 61,000 fewer Democratic votes in 2016 because of the ID law than there had been before. And why is that important, besides the fact that a lot of people didn't vote? When you have a voter ID law and you are in a community, say you're employed, you have a house or an apartment, you have a driver's license, you have stable residence, you're going to have on your driver's license your picture and your address. Well, there are a lot of folks who move a lot in Milwaukee County because, quite frankly, they're poor, but they want to vote. They're very good folks, but it's very, very possible that they don't have a driver's license. A lot of people take the bus over here, or if they do have a driver's license, it'll have an apartment address that they don't live at anymore. Then they show up to vote and they can't vote and they say, okay, go in that line and change your address, re-register. Somebody has a job where they have small kids at home and the neighbor can only watch them for an hour and they leave. That's what's happening over here. That's what's happening over here. If they don't have a driver's license, you think about this. What IDs do you have that have your picture on it other than a driver's license? I mean, some of you may have a student ID. The Republicans cut that out as being an ID. But how many of you ever went down to the state office in your locale and said, I want an ID, just an ID showing who I am and my address? The Republicans initially, believe this or not, put a fee on that. You would have had to pay, I don't know, $15. The courts threw that out. They said, well, that's a poll tax. But still, how many people do you know? I haven't done that. My ID is my driver's license. I have a passport. Okay. How many people have passports? Fewer than have driver's license. There are a lot of people in Milwaukee who don't have a driver's license. There are a lot of people in Milwaukee who take the bus. And there are a lot of people in Milwaukee who move a lot more frequently than you move, believe me. So just that voter ID thing cut out 61,000 votes in 2016. Now, how do you get around that? Because it's not unreasonable to say we want people who show up at the polls to show who they are. But there's got to be a streamlining of this, where if somebody shows up and says, here's my driver's license. The address on it isn't the right one, but here's a telephone bill or a power bill with the new address. And they raise their hand, then they can vote instead of go to the other line, re-register, blah, blah, blah. The other thing is, for folks who don't have a driver's license, there's got to be an extreme streamlined process. They don't have to go down and wait in line. A lot of folks, they'll have a job. They'd have no discretion. They can't be gone. They maybe get an hour at lunch, if that. Or they could take a bus downtown in Milwaukee, stand in line, give me a break. They have small kids. There has got to be a streamlined way of doing this. And now the Republicans are doubling down. Let me tell you some other things they've done. There was a time when the Republicans would distribute flyers in the black community that said, remember to vote next Wednesday. It's very important. Well, the vote was Tuesday. They put a false date down. And some folks would say, oh, it's Wednesday this time. And they'd show up and it would be locked. Or the Republicans will stand outside a polling place and they'll see usually a black guy in his 20s or something. And they'll go, do you have a criminal conviction? I mean, they don't say that to me if I'm in line, but they'll say it to these guys. And a lot of these guys will go, say they have a misdemeanor conviction. That doesn't prohibit them from voting. Say they had a felony conviction in the past and they served their time. That doesn't prohibit them from voting. Say they're a little leery of the police for whatever reason. They'll leave the line. They'll leave the line. They have left the line. In Texas, they passed a law, the Republicans, that criminalized voting. It said they permit in Texas election observers, who are almost always Republicans, to stand right by the election desk and glower at the voting people in line, especially in black and Latino areas. And the law, criminal law, says if you obstruct the line of sight from an observer to a voter, you commit a criminal offense. So if you're some elderly lady who's a poll worker, you get up to use the restroom and you walk between the observer and somebody there, you have broken the law. Now, are they going to arrest every old lady? No, they're not going to do it. But they have arrested several African-American people down in Texas. One of them was a woman who went in and she voted in the wrong place. Somebody told her she could, so she cast a ballot. She was a legitimate voter, prosecuted. Another guy was a black guy whose parole ended, I think it was like June 6th, from an old burglary conviction. In the April election, so that's 6 weeks before his parole ends, he was clean as a whistle. He worked. He showed up for all his meetings. He goes, I'm on parole. And they go, when's it over? June 6th. Okay, well, go ahead and vote. He votes. He's facing a five-year prison sentence for that. They are criminalizing voting. They are criminalizing voting in Texas. And the Republicans will let him get away in the House. I'll tell you something. I don't know where Merrick Garland is on this. I mean, we do have the president, Merrick, you know. We have the attorney general. That would be you. How about stepping in on some of this stuff? Yeah, I know these are state prosecutions. You can go in for injunctions. I know you're busy, but for the love of Pete, now you have the clown Spindell, fake elector. He should be in front of a grand jury convened by Josh Call investigating that. He said he was a juror. He was an elector. He was not an elector. He represented that to the government. And the clown is now sending around emails going, we can be very proud that we knifed off another 37,000 votes in the black and Latino community by biting ads and a substantial and effective Republican coordinated campaign, election integrity campaign, lots of paid election judges, lots of Republican-trained observers, and extremely significant current litigation in a 4-3 Republican Supreme Court majority. Hey, let's take the Supreme Court back. Let's not fool around. Let's make sure that Janet Protasiewicz, P-R-O-T-A-S-I-E-W-I-C-Z, very experienced prosecutor and judge, gets through that primary She has said she will get rid of gerrymandering. She will restore drop boxes. Let's do it. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Six seven two seven eight nine. Well, let's stay in Wisconsin for a second. Let me tell you a couple of things that the Republicans are doing. Remember, they have a gerrymandered legislature. Gerrymandered state senate, 22 senators. We had 11, we being the Democrats. Now they have 21. Alberta Darling stepped down. We have a terrific candidate. It's North Shore of Milwaukee, that area, exurbs of Milwaukee. Jody Habush Sinikin is our candidate. She's excellent. Conservation lawyer, environmental lawyer, also has four kids. She's really, really great. They have five clowns. And one of them is Janelle Branchon, who's an election denier and a real kind of Lauren Boebert, Marjorie Taylor Greene type of person. I'm hoping she gets nominated, quite frankly, comes out of that mosh pit on the Republican side, because I think that she, there can be a lot of Republicans who look at that and go, there's no way I can vote for her. But in any event, why do they have 2-1? They have a veto-proof majority if a Republican wins that thing. And it is a Republican district. Why should they have 2-1 veto-proof majority in the Senate when we get half or more of the votes? That, frankly, is not democracy. And in the Assembly, they are two seats away from having a veto-proof majority. And again, we get half or more of the votes. That's not a democracy. That reminds me of the rotten boroughs in England in the 18th century. You know what would happen is, you know, like the city of Manchester, which has a lot of working people in it, would get one member of parliament, and the estate of one of the lords would get a member just for the estate. Like, remember Downton Abbey? Something like that, that kind of thing, you know. And so he'd make his son or something the guy from parliament. And you have all these weird dislocations. There's a very famous case, Baker v. Carr, back in the early 60s. Justice Brennan, one of the great justices of the 20th century, wrote the opinion. Alabama had a deal where every county had one state senator. Okay, every county. So it'd be like in this state, we have 72 counties. Let's say there was one member of the assembly from every county. So Milwaukee would have one assemblyman, and Forest County would have one assemblyman. And, you know, and that's how they kept segregation up down there. Well, Justice Brennan said, no way, Jose, that's not happening. You're going to apportion it one man, one vote. You're going to apportion it by population. And they made a very good point, Alabama did. They said, well, that's not how you do it in the U.S. Senate. Every state gets two senators. Wyoming gets them with 700,000 people, and California gets them with 35 million people. And Brennan said, that's true. That goes back to the 1780s, and I can't undo what that was, a deal between the South and the North about segregation and a lot of other things, but I can do something about it now in Alabama. So the states have to have one man, one vote. They have to have apportionment. Whereas the U.S. government in the Senate does not. In the House, it does. In the House, it does. In any event, you have this veto-proof majority in the Senate, practically, with their one vote short and two in the House. So this is the kind of stuff they're pushing through. LeMahieu, the Republican head of the Senate, says they are going to pass a 3.5% flak tax. Everybody in the state will pay 3.5%. Let me give you the data on that. Right now, the range is people with the lower income who are taxed. And, you know, people who don't make much money pay no tax at all anyway, but people with taxable income the lowest rate pay about 3.54. The upper income, which they have at over 267,000 in income, 7.65. And it's very much in the mainstream of states around the country. And if you said all this is reduce the taxes of people who have very high incomes even more, and they already did it with a manufacturer's exemption. Remember that? Manufacturer's exemption? So the people that own a manufacturing company, even if they don't create any new jobs, oh, you don't have to pay taxes. This is a crooked deal, what's going on in this gerrymandered legislature. It's a crooked deal. And Evers, to his credit, came out and blasted this and said he'd veto it. They're going to try to stick it in the budget. He doesn't want to veto the budget because the budget, he puts together a budget. They carve it all up with all their wish list, and then you negotiate it. He has a line item veto. But this is what they're up to. If they ever get a Republican governor, what that would do is throw our budget out of whack, and it would force, for instance, some other taxes that they're cutting go directly to municipalities. So it would force them to raise property taxes. Well, property taxes are too high. Property taxes are a regressive tax. The Republicans are simply trying to force, especially in larger cities run by Democrats, property tax increases. Be very aware of this. This is going on. See if what happens. I'm sure Evers will veto what he can, but if he vetoes the budget, it goes back to a budget that's unsustainable because the last budget wouldn't take into account current inflation, you know, that kind of thing. And you start laying folks off and making municipalities, largely cities, increase the property tax. The Republicans can't be trusted with money. They can't be trusted with money. They don't all steal it. I want to admit that, but they'll get cheated out of it, swindled out of it, squander it, or try to give it to their donors. They cannot be trusted with money, and that's what's happening right now with these clowns. By the way, one of the things I saw, which just sort of blew me away, I got to throw this in right now. Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans have gotten rid of the metal detectors in the House, the magnetometers. Now, I'm wondering, are any of these people packing? Is Lauren Boebert, Annie Oakley, is she packing? She did pack. She went on there with a Glock. Now, she ran this bar restaurant in Rifle, Colorado. And you know something? She made her waitresses carry holsters with revolvers in them as they went around and took your cheeseburger order. She is seriously deranged. But if I'm in Congress, I want to know who's packing. It is absolutely wrong to carry weapons onto the floor. You couldn't do that during the Wild West. You couldn't do that pre-Civil War. You had to check your weapons at the door. But they got rid of these things. And some of the more sick characters are packing heat. And it's just not right. Absolutely not right. A lot more to talk about, but we're coming to the end of the show. Great show, as always. Tell you what, Matt Flynn Direct. We're back same time, same place tomorrow. Do not remember our $1 million giveaway promo. 9 a.m., starting at 9 a.m., Thursday, January 26th. $1 million free advertising for businesses or anybody who wants advertising. Getting it produced by a sales team here, promoted around the state. Matt Flynn Direct, signing off for today.